I love the rawness of that record. I love that. You know, like, I hate, man. There's one thing I hate.
Rockstar, that was a great song from them too.
Studios, man. I hate these expensive, fucking perfectly. I can't record in those. I like little shithole dungeons, and I have good gear, and they. I like that type of thing.
Like, it's still like a performing art, so you don't want things to be like super fucking clinical, to where everything is like overpriced and like you know, except like too perfect is a thing, and especially if it has no like substance to it, no soul, it's kind of vapid, you know, like it doesn't have anything to it. Then it's like draw inspiration from that. Good luck, fucking.
Yeah. Well, most stuff you hear today, especially on the pop, it's all loops.
Yeah,
so it's not even a real instrument. Well, of course,
it's mumble rap.
It's all
like
mumble rap.
It's
all getting
it's
that
have this fakeness, right? This fake plastic sound to it. Versus
That, there's no heart in it.
There's
no soul. There's no soul or heart inside that music anymore. I mean, when I hear it, it just seems soulless and created, and vapid.
Yeah, and it's not to say that like highly produced stuff like can't be good, but there always does seem to be that trend where it's like they're just churning out. It's kind of like you don't understand. It's by people who probably don't understand the art form, but just know it as like these building blocks. And if I put these blocks together, that'll make a house. And then they throw it out there like, why is nobody buying it? It's like, you don't know what the fuck you're doing. Like, it's the shape of it. It looks like something that's interesting, and it's just not. You know, once you delve into it, there's just nothing there.
But yeah, there's definitely a piece that I feel like lacking in music right now. We talk on and off about music a lot on here.
Yeah, sometimes we'll get into
get into it. And you know, this is kind of something that I've been trying to start on the show. We're hoping to have some musical guests come in and
do some
live playing. We are in Nashville. But again, you know, I told them, you know, I was like, look, if you come over and you play, you can't play any covers. You have to play originals only. And we only want to hear original music. So same way with we're only playing your music. You know,
I don't see that being a handicap. That's an advantage because I think a lot of people like they don't want to go on anywhere and play covers. They want to play their own fucking music.
Yeah.
You know?
So I'm trying to kind of like do that as a fun thing to do, and you know, and give the the up and coming artist or the artists out there trying to get things done, who are trying to make great music like yourself, writing good songs and doing the thing. You know?
And that is a really good song.
And I think there's, a voice, as far as inside media that's really kind of promoting that style of, musicianship, of like here, I could go downtown and hear the same, hear a bunch of cover bands all day long in Nashville.
There's a few.
But
there's a few out there. And not to say like,
It's a lot of the same
you don't hear it. It's like Nashville's Music City, but it's like, where's the original music?
Well,
there's really no. And that's where songwriters come in. Like, that's where if you're an artist and you're a songwriter and a guitar player, you're going to bring a whole different aspect the song with your guitar playing. And, like I said, nobody's going to be better than Eddie Van Halen because he was just a monster. But. It doesn't matter because, like I said, you drop your ego, you play for the song, and you do what the song calls for. And
I agree.
That's all that matters is the fucking song. That's it. Nothing else matters. I don't care. I've played with the best in the world in the studio, the best players in the world, and I've watched.
And you wanted to do it yourself.
They all play for the song in the most cases. Yeah. I'll tell you a story. There was one drummer in Nashville named Greg Morrow. Okay. He's fucking amazing. And I think he's played on a lot of ZZ Top stuff as well.
Yeah, that's funny.
So I had this song. It was really heavy, like kind of rock song. I think I told this story this one time. Anyway, I'll try to do it fast here. But I had this in my head, the arrangement, and everybody was in the room, and we're all in there, and we're listening. And he came up to me. He goes, no, man, you're going to do this, this, and this. And I'm like, I don't know, right? But it's Greg, and like I really respected Greg, so I didn't give him any attitude back or anything. I was like, nah. And he's like, listen, kid, believe me, this is what needs to happen. And I just, okay. And the motherfucker made the song. He took the song from where it was and made it like I was just like, he made it. Listen, this is how amazing he was playing. He was playing. The whole band was in there playing. Guess who walks in the room? walks into my session. I think I told you that story. Tom Kiefer from Cinderella walks
in the room. I don't know if you told us that story.
What the fucking song is this, man? I didn't even know who he was. I thought he was like some fucking bum off.
Yeah,
some vagrant.
Yeah. It's the last thing you're expecting.
I'm like, I go to Brian Love. I go, dude, like, I'm going to have to throw this guy out, man. I don't know who he is. Who the hell just walks into somebody's session, right? And everybody's like, this Tom Kiefer, man. I didn't know who he was. I didn't know anything about Cinderella, right? But he was just like, man, that song. And actually, if you go to my Instagram page, there it's up on there. It's called Hold On, and I'm just doing a live feed, and I'm playing it through my speakers. But you can hear Greg's drums, and you can hear how cool he did this thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know where I'm going with this. What were we talking about?
We're just talking about smoking weed. Yeah, me too.
Just going over the song.
This is kind of how the podcast goes once we get kind of into it.
It does. It devolves.
But just listening like to these guys that play and like you know, like their greatness, what they can bring. I've also been in a session that wasn't my session that I've seen players like fucking be asked to leave because they just wouldn't do what they were asked to do, and they were asked to leave.
That must be a hard hit for that person.
Hey, we're gonna need you to take off.
Yeah, you step into my office. Why? Because you're fucking fired.
Get out.
Yeah, well, I know John Rich has let some people in the studio go. I heard some stories.
That would be John Rich.
He was one of the best guitar players in the world, wasn't giving them what he needed. Mm. And I guess he was arguing, and John was probably drunk and just told him to fuck off.
Fucking piss off. Fuck off.
I don't know. I never talked to John about all that. I don't know, but that's what I just heard that had happened. Yeah. I see it because I, you know, John knows what he wants. John writes the damn song. He knows what he wants.
Yeah, it's true.
And that's kind of the philosophy I always go with when I'm writing. I'm like, you know, like back to like, do you have outside influence on it? And I'm like, no, I like not anymore. And I, like, I always have this philosophy. I started the damn song. I can finish it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I just live with that, right? Like, I got it going. I'm already here. And a lot of times it's just your own head messing with you, telling you, no, you need help with this. It's like, no, hash it out. Hash it out.
All right.
Who cares? Whatever it takes, just hash it out, and you keep listening back.
Yeah.
And the thing that brought the song to you, whatever it is, whatever fucking things you're pulling out of the ether to get a song to you, that's the same thing that started it. It's going to finish it for you. You just have to be present enough, and you have to be willing to sit there and struggle with it.
Yeah. Being present is part of what's difficult about it, though, because you get distracted by a lot of stuff, like stuff I was mentioning before. Like, oh, what if people don't like it? What if you get all this stuff that sort of like clouds your own judgment? So even just kind of
not,
like...
Not anymore for me personally. Yeah. I don't, like I said, I don't think I've really ever had that worry in that. Like, I've never had that with songs. Like, for me, songwriting, it just comes. It just comes through my fingers onto the
That's thing. A good thing. That's a gift. That's really actually an easy gift.
Process. Now, listen, it's not always easy. I got songs that I wrote 2 years ago I'm still working on. Like, come on. But it's more of a... For me, it's more of like, man, you should co-write this with somebody. And I've really gotten out of that. It's like, no, I don't need any help. Fuck that. They don't call back. Yeah.
Do you think?
I'm not fucking sucking ass to get a co-write. I can do this shit on my own. It's my ego, but it's worked for me so far.
Right.
So.
Do you think maybe laying a song aside for a little while, like, and like kind of like just throwing it on the back burner and then coming back to it and then like reading it and going, oh, this is okay. You know what? I know what this is missing. Does that happen a lot?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean,
and then the song,
because I'm writing every day, so and I've got so much on the go. Like, I've got so much shit started, and then like, it's funny because the ones I think are like, okay, this is really fucking cool, and this is, and I have the vision all for it, but and then all of a sudden I'll sit down, and then I'll like write Whiskey Sweet Whiskey in like fucking 60 minutes and go, okay, let's. And then I was like, well, I don't know. Like, it was like, well, should I record that one? It's like, man, fucking go for it. Like, just do it. Fuck it. So once I spent money on the drums, there was no turning back.
It's still crazy that I thought that was a violin there. He said that was the fucking guitar. Just the bends.
Yeah, like he's doing everything on his bends. Yeah, that's all him.
It sounds really cool.
Yeah. That's his licks, man. Like, so he's putting all that fill in.
It's high quality.
It's great. It's a good song, man. Like I said, as soon as I heard it, I was like, oh, this is a damn good song. You know?
Yeah, so. And you got to remember, like, where I'm at today, like, I'm just a song. I'm writing songs, man.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, so... you know, so I'm just trying to get a cut, you know, I'm just trying to get in that world and Yeah. If something ever came down the line where I got that opportunity, I don't think about it really. Well, yeah. That's bullshit. I think about it all the time.
Right.
It's,
I mean, there is some amount 14, of, you know.
So it would be great to go on stage.
Well, let's hope, our huge listening audience is, if there's any music producers out there looking to, like, maybe score a song for someone to sing or have Chade come and sing it for you. Well, we'll get you in touch with him.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, all six of our listeners, that's our wide market that we got going on right now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, well, we're killing it. Yeah.
You
it comes and goes. It comes and goes. It takes a long time I notice when I go back to previous episodes that I'm like, oh, this actually has more now. This actually has 25, where it had 7, so. I know, we're fucking huge.
Yeah, well, you had your estimated listening at a time and then overall plays for the overall plays.
Yeah,
thing
the real world plays. And but
more focused.
But I like to open up this platform to, musicians out there trying to do their own thing, play their own original music, and, give them a venue, give them a voice, I guess you could say,
Yeah, and... Yeah, and you just gotta.
And if they suck, won't have them back.
I can't put down a guitar. I can't do that.
Yeah,
I do this shit because it's who I am.
Right.
I've done it without a label for so long. I've done it without any. The hardest part for me was having to learn to do it without an expectation. That was hard because my whole career has been driven by wanting to get a record deal.
Right.
So that's where it really. I struggled because I was like, what's the point? Right.
There's
and
then
I had to
learn.
It took a few years that, it's still okay to have that desire to want to try to get a cut and do this and that, but it's okay to play. It's okay. You're good at what you do, and you're only going to get better if you keep doing it. And you're never going to get to the point where I'm not going to get to the point where I'm ever not achieving to be better. I'm always achieving to write and just be better player. And I've always been blessed in my whole career to have better guitar players around me my whole career.
Yeah.
And
keep challenging you. Yeah.
That is a plus.
But at the same time, those guitar players that I've always had in my life and those great musicians, I always brought the songs to the table most of the time.
Right.
Because I was always a solo artist, but even in the writing, and I'm not saying this to brag, but even when I co-wrote my whole career, I always brought shit to the table. I don't really ever, that's a few writers I wrote with, we recreate it from scratch, but 99% of the time I always went in with something already started in the direction.
Right.
And that was the direction
that's not,
we went.
That's just truth bombs. That's just the way it was. I just went in with stuff already going.
Yeah.
But I have been with writers and stuff like me and Brian loved it. Because we were really close. And so we would jam and we could do some stuff from scratch. And it was cool. And a couple other writers that we did it. But honestly, at this point, dude, I don't even like co-writing. I'm good at it.
I can't imagine.
I'd rather just do my own shit. I don't have to fucking deal with anybody.
True.
Yeah, especially now that you're more used to it. Yeah.
Right.
So what were you saying, Jason? Sorry.
Oh, no, I was saying, especially at this point when you're more used to it anyway, it would be an unnecessary change to make.
Yeah,
something's going on up at the protest.
To be able to have an opportunity to co-write, but
yeah.
Great. Awesome. Or working with an artist or a project. Absolutely. I can do that in a heartbeat because I'm not about me anymore. It's just it's about the song.
Right.
That's it. I don't care. Yeah. It's about the fucking song. And when you're an artist and you're writing for you, it's a little different. And so you're basing it on your thing. But, and I heard this awesome thing Tom Petty said. Tom Petty said, when people want to write with you, it's because they want what you bring to the table.
You're right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
that totally makes
sound.
Sense.
They want what you do. You know what I mean? Whether it's just a certain thing. I can listen to my music now, and no matter if it's country or it's this or that, there is a certain thing, a certain thing that I have, whether people like it or they don't, but there is a certain thing, a sound on the guitars that I have. And the funny thing is, even with Justin playing all my shit, it still sounds like it was me playing on the underlining beds because they were my parts.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So it all boils down to those parts. And it's me telling Justin, no. So it doesn't matter. Like, I know when it's the right tone, and that's the tone he has to, like, that's the hardest part, is getting the tones. Once he has the tones, I know we can play it.
No, he's got the talent. Tone,
my ears go, that's it. That's it. Like, that's one guy in command of the song, and that's a healthy thing. Like I said, you don't want all this other influence. And the minute that I start asking questions to dudes, that's when shit goes wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not lying. Because that's when I'm like, the minute that I just stay on my track and my journey, and I take the song, and I go back to that whole analogy, I'm just like, no, I started this thing, I can end it. I started it, I can end it. And I just go with that. And it's worked so far. So,
right. You know? Yeah. Well, keep doing what you're doing, man, for sure. We love it. You know?
Yeah, I don't really know. I don't know anything else.
I still remember, like, the first time, you know.
I don't know any other way. Like, I'm limited to the resources I have in the sense of co-writers and studios. I mean, I did all the vocals in my fucking bedroom. I did all the mixing in my bedroom.
Yeah,
it's, I mean,
Pro Tools.
To the average listener, they don't know if that shit came out of a studio in Nashville. They don't have a fucking
No,
clue.
They don't even
no,
know.
But isn't that kind of what's amusing almost about it? Like,
yeah, well, I think and that's really kind of how music has changed too, that, you know, you no longer need these giant recording studios to go and make your own music. You know, you don't need this big giant record company behind you to produce your own music. You know, you don't have to go
I just need a cut. I hope one day I get it, just so I can have that credibility and just be taken a little bit more serious in it, because let's face it, you just don't get the exposure you need until you get that
cut.
You get that cut, then everybody's like,
ooh,
like,
what else you got in there, what else you got in the old
back catalog. Yeah. It's like, oh, you're overnight success. It's
not
been doing this 2 decades.
I guess that goes along, like, with Chris Stapleton, when, like, they, like, the CMAs gave him the new artist award, and he got up there and he goes, and he's like accepting the award. He goes, I'm really not that new. It's like, I've been around for a while.
Fucking good is that guy?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Holy
yeah.
shit. Dude. You hear his last performance on the CMAs? Dude, man, he was amazing. It's just like, fuck.
That guy's just a talent.
I would hate to follow that guy.
You know, holy, I mean, shit, I remember, like, listening to him as the, you know, when he played
with again, man, I think people love him because he's just real.
Yeah.
You know, he's real.
Yeah.
Real.
You know, I remember one time here in Nashville, I was sitting at Sweetwater, that shitty bar, Sweetwater, and there was, like, this kind of, like, this metal band back there playing. I'm like, man, this guy sounds pretty good. And I walked back there, and it was Chris Stapleton singing with these guys.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
I was like, isn't that Chris Stapleton? Well, I mean, it was before he got big. I mean, he'd been playing with the Steel Drivers already and singing with them. But he'd played around town so much and in so many different bands.
Oh,
like, it was nothing like to walk in there, like, there he is singing in a metal band at this shitty ass bar. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
And, those guys are, you know, you can tell the guys that have been around who's paid their dues. You can just tell. Because you can tell when they play live and they sound like they do on the records.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like you said, they're playing for the song, they realize what it is.
Playing. Yeah. Yeah, they understand it. And I don't know.
But everybody knows that, you know.
I love Tom Petty so much, and I always listen to, I'm in the truck, I'll listen to Sirius XM at his station.
Yeah.
We play interviews with him on there all the time. Obviously, it's his channel, but he's always talking about songwriting and, like, get to the chorus, don't bore us. And I've always had that mentality. Like, if you're not hitting the chorus by 30 seconds, especially in today's world, people are fucking not going to listen.
Yeah, the attention span's not there.
Yeah, it's not that long. And then you just have to look at, you know, the catalog of Tom Petty and how many fucking hits he wrote.
Dude, man, like, how?
I mean, like, it's amazing. You know,
the cool thing about Tommy, he hit it at that time where music was everything, right?
Yeah.
It was like the hockey players of today, like right? Like, they call sports players today the new rock stars, right? Because they're making all that money. But he hit it when music was appreciated. That's what I should say.
Yeah,
he hit it when music was still appreciated, you know?
Yeah, there was still the art behind it in the craft.
You know, There was a love between the audience and the artist on a whole different level. Because there was a love between the songs, the people, and the people had the patience to listen to the songs.
Yeah.
They listened to them. They felt them. They lived those songs.
Yeah.
That's why you're such a music lover, because you grew up in that time where you had to, that's all you had.
Yeah.
You didn't have a
there's so many musicians and bands.
Scroll whatever you wanted. Like we were all forced to listen. And that's the true, that's the difference between people today growing up in our generation, is like we had to listen, you know, like we got excited. We got excited when we heard our favorite artist was going to put out a new record.
Yeah.
How did we know they're going to put out a new record? We had to buy the magazine to find out.
Or hear it on the radio, you know?
The radio.
Like the radio, radio was right, huge
like,
back
that
then.
That was like, remember, I don't know if you guys seen footage, but if you go to YouTube, Guns N' Roses, when they released Use Your Illusion 1 and 2, there was fucking kids lined up outside Tower records all over the world.
Oh, yeah, waiting for those two records
waiting
to buy.
Waiting for that fucking record to drop, man, and what a disappointment it wasn't. Like, what a great fucking two records.
Yeah,
right? Like,
very true.
It was just incredible. I mean,
I remember those days too, you know, growing up in that time of, you know, like with radio and like, you know, and bands would, artists would release like a single, you know, a couple months before the album would come out.
Yeah.
And you got this, like, you're just feeding on the record. Like, man, if this song is so great, man, I can't wait to hear the whole record. You know, it's going to be amazing, you know, and just being excited about it and feeling like, God, what? Come on.
And I remember the 90s were like the last of that. Because as soon as the 2000s hit, they started to get really sneaky. They put out the best song on radio, and then everybody just thought the record was going to be good. And then it was just 13 pieces of shit and one good song. Yeah. And you just got suckered into buying it.
Yeah, out of a whole album, you have maybe two or three good songs. That's it. Yeah. That's it.
That's true.
And you have like 17 tracks.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
But like I said, I just remember being excited about, you know, things. I remember like when Van Halen's 1984 was coming out, and I remember the radio station, you know, they were going to get, you know, the new single before anybody else. And they were telling you the day they were going to play it. I remember it was like a Saturday or something, man. And I was like right there on the radio when they played fucking Jump. You know, I was like, first of all, I was shocked. Yeah, I had the cassette deck ready to go. And then, first of all, I was shocked. I'm like, okay, well, those are synthesizers. Yeah. I thought this was a Van Halen song, in which, you know, Eddie was branching out again, you know, and exploring his thing. And then Jump came out. I'm like, yeah, Jump is good, but it's not what I thought, you know. And then they released Panama, and I'm like, holy shit, that's a Van Halen song, you know?
Panama.
And then Hot for Teacher, and then the rest of that record. And the rest of that record was amazing, you know?
Hardcore fans, huh?
Yeah. I mean, the rest of that record was amazing, too, you know? I mean, you know, Top Jimmy and Drop Dead Legs and just a great record from them. But that was the beginning of the end, though. I mean, that was... Yeah. You know, when Dave had already kind of done his solo thing, he released that EP, or it was just him doing covers, you know? But then he went out after he broke away. And then Eat 'Em and Smile from Dave.
On Eddie, I think he was a really fucking hard dude to work with.
That's what I understand.
Probably. But he had a high standard, yeah.
And he should have. I mean, I guess when you're told you're the best guitar player in the world, and you know how to write
songs,
you got to live up to it.
Why
would you pick anybody else to lead the songs? It's I don't know.
That's probably what he was thinking, too. Right. I mean, it's, you know, it's got to be the best, whatever it is. I mean, it's...
But I guess, truth be told, he's probably a motherfucker on drums, too. Bet you could
that's what he started out playing was the drums.
True.
And like him and Alex flip-flop. Like Alex was playing the guitar and Eddie was playing the drums when they were kids, and they just flip-flopped. You know, they just swapped instruments.
When you have that understanding of timing like he did, like, wow. You know, so he's probably, I think I did read that, and I could be totally wrong, but I think he would be telling Michael Anthony how to play his bass parts. I believe that was he would write the bass lines out. I think I read that or heard that. I think I heard Michael Anthony talk or somebody talk about that.
Okay.
But Eddie was like, so that right there, now that could be a total I don't know. If I'm Michael Anthony, I'm like, yeah, tell me what to do, man. I'm riding this gravy train. Oh,
hell yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Just call me Ringo.
You know, just ride it out, man. Yeah. Like, you're going to have a good time.
What do you do for a living? I make $3 million a year playing bass for a rock band. Oh. And I don't even have to write my own parts.
Yeah.
Wow.
Your life must be terrible.
Well, it's so terrible. But I do understand that actually, like, Michael Anthony is probably, like, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah, that'd be friendly as fuck to everybody. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sammy Hagar seems like a very laid-back dude.
Yeah, he'd be a blast to hang out with, though. Like, so
He just seems like that guy on the beach.
He loves music, too. Yeah. Like, I just seen this interview with him and Billy Gibbons, and he's, like, just... fucking, they're just jamming, and he's singing all the ZZ Top songs, and Billy Gibbons is looking at him like, how the fuck you know these songs, man?
Sammy's kind of a musician's musician, you know? I mean, if you look back, you know, I mean, he started out with Montrose when he was like 18 years old and singing with them and playing guitar.
He did for
and,
the art form, yeah.
You know, and just progressed through, you know, his time after he left Montrose. Of course, he had a very successful solo career.
Those guys had that type of money, like Tom Petty. They had that fuck you money, right? They hit it at that time, and then they could just, like...
do what they wanted.
So you have every single day of your life to write songs, and you have a guy like Mike Campbell, who's being... paid really well and writing with you. Like, you got a team with you all the time, and you got a band. That's why they put out so much material. They had a band,
right?
Fucking Heartbreakers, man.
Oh, the Heartbreakers was a hell of a band. That was great.
Let's go rehearse,
you know,
Tom's songs, and then we'll go fucking.
Something's going on at the protest, that's why
there's so much Tom Petty content.
It looks like the police are at the protest.
Let's see, how many times were they on SNL back when it was good?
Yeah, let's see what's going on. Something going on.
The police are there?
Yeah.
Well, they're...
I don't know what's going on. I don't know if they're just walking by.
They're on all in ecstasy. They're dancing.
Yeah.
We're still in mid-rave.
Yeah. I guess they're just showing the police they're not having any problems or anything, I guess.
No, it seems like a very Canadian protest.
Yeah. Get some more Molson, eh?
Tomorrow, geez. It's supposed to be plus one.
Yeah,
it's fucking heat wave. Got a damn heat wave there.
Fucking naked Canadians running around everywhere.
the police there, all in their vests.
SWAT team. Are you watching the same?
Yeah, I'm watching the same one.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got the SWAT team right there, ready to go.
Both
sides of the street.
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
You want to have a reasonable amount of caution for things, because it's just like, you know, somebody gets rowdy or some shit like that. Yeah. So they're going to be there, but as long as they're not trying to shut shit down or they're trying to get in the way, then I don't have an issue with you know, them being
on there. I'm happy the police are there, just making sure people are safe, you know?
Yeah, as long as they're not there to...
They're not there pushing back or acting like a bunch of... I don't know. Let's see what's going on.
Guys in a onesie.
Oh, I'm sure there's some ODs happening.
Oh, yeah. Somebody's like, I can't feel my face.
Dehydrated.
This is like Canada's Burning Man. It's called Freezing Man.
Freezing Man. The Ice Man. The Ice Man cometh. I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah.
Kind of massing them up there a little bit.
It's gonna be a hockey
good thing
style.
Is there's
like,
so many cameras on people.
Oh,
so
yeah,
trying
yeah.
to get away with
yeah.
being abusive.
Looks like the regular police there are just kind of chilling. The guys in the red hats are just chilling. They're like, yeah, whatever. Let's take some fucking videos.
I think they're gonna get into a snowball fight. That's what I'm guessing.
That's awesome.
Like their fuck Trudeau flags.
Shirts versus skins. Let's
shirts
go.
Versus skins. Let's go.
Do you ever took a snowball off the face in my
Oh, yes. Oh, it's terrible.
Especially if there's like somebody didn't know there's a little chunk of ice in there. That fucking,
oh, man. Or your friend like purposely makes the ice ball. He's been working a snowball for a while.
We had to learn not to throw ice balls at each other. God, yeah, so split my friend's head open.
Yeah, the parents get really pissed when that happens.
Yeah, everybody gets mad.
Everybody's like, you just knocked the fun out of everything.
And then we couldn't have snowball fights after that for a while. Yeah.
Can you believe he just ran and hid?
Yeah, he just ran and hid. What a douche. Yeah. I can believe it. You know,
isolating. Like,
yeah, I can actually believe it.
Maybe he thinks the fuck out there.
Maybe he thought he had COVID.
Let's talk about this.
Well, he said he had COVID. He said he'd been exposed to COVID.
Maybe he thinks he has COVID and just wants to isolate himself from the entirety of Canada right now for no other reason besides he thinks he has COVID.
He's got Coward 19.
Yeah. Gotta see.
Coward 19.
Coward 19.
I don't know.
It's probably not the 19th time. It's probably more than that, right?
Yeah, they definitely got a heavy police force there.
Yeah, and they're going to.
It's nighttime, too, and it's nighttime. Yeah, people have been drinking. They got a little bit of the Labatt's in them now, so.
Yeah, nobody
you know how them ho- you know how them hosers
on,
get.
Turn on or listen to any major broadcaster. They're just, everybody's just preaching, don't get violent. If you see anybody trying to start shit, just
shut it down.
Just shut it down, yeah. Get the police. Go get them. Say, hey.
Because it's not worth losing the message.
Yeah, exactly. Don't lose the message. I'm glad didn't seem like there's any antagonizers there, like, you know, we had happen at the January 6th thing where...
Well, if everybody's on ecstasy, there's going to be zero fights.
There's going to be zero fights because they're all just hugging each
other. There's going to be a lot of fun.
You feel great, man.
Dude, this jacket, this material, what is this material
made out of? What is this made out of?
Why do you look like a bush baby?
Just want to wrap myself in it.
Yeah. Well, it's weird because, like, normally Canadians will just fist fight each other for the hell of it. And look at that big rig rocking.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Oh, that's funny. Shit. Oh, if the rigs are rocking, don't come a knocking.
What's going on in there?
What's going on in there? In here banging your chick.
Every truck stop right now, yeah.
What a brilliant way to do it, though, huh?
Yeah,
back the city up with fucking...
trucks everywhere.
Millions of pounds of fucking metal.
Yeah.
Like, where are you going to go? Like, the fucking city's on lockdown, man. Like, it's their own lockdown.
People come.
The funny thing is they shut down the highway. There's, like, fucking... 75,000 trucks still backed up on the highway.
Oh, wow.
I haven't even gotten into Ottawa yet. Oh, yeah, it's insane. I mean, there's got to be like 2 million people, fucking just people, not even including the trucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't showing anything. Really. Yeah. I mean, this is just one little part.
Yeah.
But
it's pretty cool.
Hard too. Yeah.
Yeah. This is live in Ottawa, Canada right now at the Trucker Freedom 2022 protest against the mandates.
And flags.
Yeah.
A lot of Molson
and Labatt's going on, you know.